Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, this is Rosario Abate, founder of Scriptures for Us. First of all, I want to thank everybody for joining me on this Thursday evening. We're going to start having these Bible studies on a monthly basis, like today we had having one on Thursday. We're going to alternate from Thursdays to Saturday's afternoon like we do the training lessons. So each month we're going to replace one of the training lessons with the Bible study. And always, you know, watch your emails. And since I did say that, you know, since you're a member of Scriptures, hopefully, that you check your emails on a regular basis. I know I've talked to some people and they say that, well, they check their email once a week or once every, you know, 10 days or something. And that's not a good idea because, you know, if you're, you know, promoting your business and you get a person, let's say one day and you don't know that that person joined your group until, you know, you checked your email a week later or something, well, that person may very easily have already gotten discouraged because you never heard from anybody. So it's a good idea to check your email really every day if you can, so you can kind of keep up with everything that's going on within the company. Now, what we're going to be doing soon, okay, you're the first to hear this, we're going to be, because we have many requests, okay, we're going to be offering the CDs. If someone wants to buy one, just one CD in particular, we're going to have that on the order form or on the online store as well. And you can order this, the CD. We're not sure exactly what the price will be because we do have to ship that, so we always have to add about $2 to the shipping cost. But we'll let you know. And then what's going to be good about this is if someone's, let's say, on one of the programs, let's say the Bible lesson online, but they kind of like a certain lesson, or they can order that particular lesson in addition to their auto program. So even though they're on the Bible lesson online, they'll be able to order a CD. Let's say they like a particular one and they want that one on the CD. Will they be able to order it now? Now, of course, it's not going to be $21.95. Like you do if you join the Bible lessons on CD, it's going to be at a discounted rate. But even at that, it's going to be probably about half that. And we're still going to be paying 90% commission on that. So that's another way we're trying to add more commissions to our members so they, of course, can prosper and, you know, maybe eventually someday, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now, who knows, do this on a full-time basis. But tonight, if you got your email, the title of the lesson tonight is The Man in the Mirror. Now, before we get started, let's just say a little prayer. Okay, I'll say that. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that you've given us to study your word. I hope and pray that each person that's on the call this day, that their ears and minds will be opened up to the truth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the way these work, if you've never been on the talk show before, is if you want to ask a question or give a comment, okay, during the show or after the show, you're more than welcome to. And what you need to do is to press 1 on your touch-tone phone, and then we'll answer the question or you can give your comment. Now, here's what you must understand. This is a Bible study, okay? So if you have any questions or if there's something that you're not sure of, or maybe something you hadn't heard before, then by all means, ask a question, okay? Just press 1 on your touchtone phone. We won't know who you are. You don't have to give your name. I mean, the whole idea of these Bible studies is for us to learn God's Word. So if you're listening to this and there's something you didn't quite understand, then you're going to miss out. So I hope, first of all, that everybody has a pen and paper, and they brought their Bible with them to follow along. And these we're going to more than likely be archiving so people can listen to them at a later date. Now, the title of this is The Man in the Mirror. I know that sounds like an odd title, but you'll know exactly what I mean in a minute. Now, the reason I like picking titles is because, you know, just reading through the Bible is fine, but that's something that a person can kind of do on their own, okay? And that, in a way, to me, is kind of boring. I like when we can actually pick a subject and then go through the scriptures to find out if these things are true or not, which brings me to this verse. And I tell everybody this whenever I have a Bible study. It's always good to listen, okay, and listen to other preachers, maybe not that are not from your church or someone that you may gotten a CD from or you listen to them on TV. But I think it's always good and safe to be like the Bereans were in Acts 17:11. If you want to turn to with me, that's fine. If not, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about here. Acts 17:11, it says, "These men were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things be true or not." So that's what we need to do, is we need to, if we, you know, hear something here, we're not sure. Of course, in this case, you can ask a question. But if you're not sure of something, it's always best to go to the scriptures themselves. And if you continue to read, like I try to tell people, the Bible, really, if you study it, not just breeze through it, you'll get the answers to any questions you may have. There's answers to a question you may have, or you'll actually see it in the Bible. And so, oh, there it is, you know. To give you an example, when I first started reading the Bible, I came to a scripture, and I thought of something. I said, geez, how did these apostles, okay, remember all these words, you know? And I think maybe like 5 minutes later, as I was reading the Bible, it says Jesus said that he will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will reveal things to them, and that there was my answer, see? So I found, you know, the scriptures themselves answered my own question. So always study the word of truth. Now, I don't mean just read, study, okay? Take so much time out of your day to study because, you know, this is something you really want to know. You don't want, just like if you wouldn't give someone $50,000 and say, here, go out and buy me a car, you know. Well, here, they come back with a pink car that's a Volkswagen. I didn't really want that, you know. Well, only, you know, an insane person would do that, all right. You want to pick out your own car with your own money. So it's the same thing with your eternal life. I mean, why would you want someone else to tell you where you're going to be for all eternity? You know, find out for yourself. Find out for sure. Not just say, well, I think I'm going to heaven when I die, you know. I hope I am. There's a lot of people that actually think that. You know, you should know. The only way you're going to find out is by studying God's word. Now, the first scripture I want to bring you to, it's found in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says, "Walk by faith and not by sight." So what we're going to be talking about tonight is something that you need to apply to your life by faith, okay, because you're not going to be able to see what we're talking about. You'll understand what I mean in a few minutes. Now, what is faith, okay? Well, again, the answer to all of our questions is always in the Bible. So Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." See? So you can't see God, but yet you believe in him, see? And that's what faith does. Faith causes you to believe in something you haven't seen, okay? Now let's get to the subject itself, okay? If we go to Genesis, We see, you don't have to go there, I'm just going to kind of do this by heart, okay? We see, all right, here it is, all right. If we go to Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So in other words, God created man in his own image and his own likeness, okay? Then he goes on to say that he was pleased with everything that he created, but he said this about man. He said, very pleased. Now, can anybody tell me, if you want to, why were they pleasing to God? Did they do something, or did they say something, or can anybody tell me what made them pleasing to God? If you want to answer that, just press 1 on your touch-tone phone, and you can, you know, help me. Nobody wants to ask a question. Okay. Well, it's simple. Everything that God makes, he's pleased with. They were pleasing to God because God made them that way. They didn't have to do anything, okay, to be pleasing to God. He made them that way. And now it's important to know as we go along. God made them pleasing to himself. Now listen to what happened to Eve when she went into the garden. This is in Genesis, I think, chapter 3, verse 6. It says, for God doesn't, just speaking to Eve now, for God doesn't want you to eat off the tree. For in the day that you eat off the tree, you shall be like God. Now guess what? That's the first religious act we see in the Bible. And it was given to man by Satan, not by God. See? Now here's what he did, and here's what why she was deceived. She believed the devil. In other words, Eve thought she had to do something. In this case, eat the fruit. She thought she had to do something to become what she already was. Okay? Let me repeat that. She thought she had to do something in order to become what she already was. So by her eating of the fruit, she was denying what God says she already was. See? What she should have said, her response should have been, I don't have to eat a piece of fruit to be like God. He made me that way. He didn't make her a God. I don't have to eat a piece of fruit because God already made me like that, in his image and likeness. And guess what? She would have been correct, and as the scriptures say, tell the truth to the devil and he'll flee from you. But that's not the case. She believed a lie. She told her husband. He gave in to what she said and also believed the lie, and that was the beginning of the fall of man, okay? Now, does anybody have a question about what I just said? Just press 1 on your touch-tone phone. Nobody? Okay. Does everybody understand that? If you don't, you know, please, you know, I can repeat it. So press 1 on your touch-tone phone, and I'll repeat it if you didn't quite get what I was trying to say there. See, that's an important thing to know, because Jesus said the devil's the father of lies, okay? And what he tries to do, and you have to be aware of this, okay? Everybody seems to think, oh, the devil's trying to make you sin. Well, it could be, you know, but in James it says that every man sins, he's carried away by his own lust. See, so we have a sin nature, so we don't need anybody to help us to sin, okay? The devil, what he does is he always tries to get you to deny who God says you are, just like he did Eve. He did it to the Son of Man, Jesus. In the desert, when he went to be tempted by the devil, the first thing that he said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, see, change that stone into a piece of bread. And Jesus didn't say, okay, I'll prove it to you, I'm the Son of God, I'll change that. He didn't do that. He already knew who he was, okay? So he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He already heard before that, at his baptism, behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So he knew who he was. Now it's time that we know who we are. according to God and not according to the person we see in the mirror. That's where I got that title from, okay? All right, let's get back. Let's find out who God says we are in Christ, not what we are in ourselves. That's easy to find out. Just look in the mirror or, you know, take a look at what you've done that day. But we're going to be talking about the real you, okay? All right, this is in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, now this is something we're supposed to know, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer serve sin. See, so God is saying that when you receive Christ, your old man, that's the man of sin, that's the man you received from Adam, the fallen nature, the fallen man, was buried with Christ. Now, what happens when something is buried or covered up? Can't see it anymore, right? God doesn't want to see your old man anymore. That's why he buried it, okay? But what happens is some people, what they want to do is they want to resurrect the old man and somehow live their life by the deeds of the old man, thinking somehow, well, now that I'm saved, I'm going to be able to keep the law perfectly. I'm going to be able to do everything perfect. So they're taking the old man, which was condemned by Adam. And if you know what the word condemned means, it means beyond repair. And what they do is they'll live their life by, in the flesh, see, that's living in the flesh, by the flesh, trying to live a righteous life that they think is pleasing to God, when actually what they've done, they just joined the self-improvement society headed by fallen Adam. And all they're going to do is find out that they're still a sinner. And Paul addresses that. He says the same thing, basically, in Galatians. I won't tell you where it's at. You can look that up yourself, okay? So how do we live our life now that we're a Christian? By effort or by faith, as we just read? Walk by faith and not by sight, okay? Well, let's go to the next verse, okay? This is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And just about everybody knows this, okay? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's your old man, you know. And behold, all things are become new. See, so now, according to God, you are a new person. That person you see in the mirror, the person you experience on a daily basis, is not you any longer. That person died 2,016 years ago when Christ died, and God buried that person. And he rose you, it says, into a new life. So now you are exactly what God says you are. You are a new creature in Christ. All right, now, here's an interesting thing, okay? And this is going to tell you how to go about living your life by faith. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Now, does anybody know what that means? Press 1 on your touch-tone phone if you want to give a comment. Nobody? Okay. Okay, he said deny yourself. Yourself. That's the important part. Deny yourself. Now, here's the easiest way, and I hope you remember this. I'm going to repeat it, okay, a couple times. Here's the easiest way to deny yourself. Replace. Now, when I say replace all, and when I say all, I mean all. Replace all that you are in yourself with all that God says you are in Christ. And that's a perfect denial of self. Let me repeat that. Replace all that God says you are in Christ, not something or a few things, all that you are in yourself, all that God says you are in Christ. And if you don't know what God says you are in Christ, okay, then it's time to pick up the Bible and read it and find out. Just give you a few things. You're holy, you're righteous, you're the righteousness of God, you're beloved of the Father, You're an heir with Christ. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, these are all the things that God says about you now, now that you're in Christ. Now, the devil's right there, and he uses people, okay, to accuse you. You know, and how many times has someone told you, oh, hey, I thought you were, they thought maybe you were doing something that they thought maybe was ungodly, okay? And they'll say to you, oh, hey, I thought you were a Christian. See? Guess where that thought came from? Okay, that thought, you know, is that person is the devil's advocate at that moment in time. So they're trying to put a question mark in your mouth, in your mind, thinking that, well, yeah, maybe I'm not a Christian. You know, maybe I did, you know. See, so just what you need to do is just ignore that. See? I tell people, look, what you say I am and what God says I am in Christ is not the same. God says I'm perfect and complete in Christ. You're saying I'm something different, but if I believe you, then you're greater than God, but I'd rather believe God, see? So don't give in to that temptation, okay? Now, here's the reason why you want to do this. It may sound like a cop-out, okay, but Paul did the same thing. In Romans chapter 7, I want you to read that. We're not going to, but I'll just quote one thing. He said, for it is no longer I that do it these things, but sin that dwells in me. See? But he never denied that he wasn't a perfect and complete in Christ. In fact, everything about who you are in Christ, you can find in Paul's letters, okay? He's the one that told us all these things. Okay, now, here's something that's very interesting, and most people, when I talk to them, they say, well, I never heard it, okay? But it really says a lot, okay, as far as how you're supposed to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And the only way you're going to walk in the spirit, okay, is by believing the truth, okay? Like Jesus said, my words are truth. Okay? So if you're not walking in the truth, then you're walking in the flesh. See? So, and that's why sometimes it's hard to do that because your life sometimes denies who God says you are in Christ. And that's why you have to walk by faith. Okay? You have to start believing what God says you are, not what you think you are, not what somebody else says you are, you know? It's what God says you are. He's the boss. He's in charge. When he says things, we're called to believe them. Like, for instance, he told Moses, take off your sandals because the ground you're standing on is holy. Well, what was so holy about that ground? Some people say, well, it was holy, or God said that because he was there. But God says he's everywhere, doesn't he? See, the point that God was trying to say and the point that we should understand about that statement is that when God says something, it's true. So that ground was holy because God said so. And if God says you're his child, you're perfect and complete in Christ, you're his beloved, you're pleasing to him, then that's what you are, okay? And if you don't believe that, then you're calling God a liar, or you're taking someone else's word over God's word, okay? All right, let me read this. This is really interesting. A lot of people never seem to have read this in the Bible, okay? This is in Hebrews 1:4. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things, this is speaking of Christ, by the way, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself, now that's important to remember, by himself, that was without you now, purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. See, he did. He purged your sin. That means he cleansed you completely without your help. God doesn't need our help to do things. I mean, some people seem to think that, but God forbid. I mean, he spoke this whole universe into existence in 6 days. Now, if you know anything about the universe, you know, there's billions upon billions of galaxies in the universe. And each one of those galaxies has billions and sometimes even trillions of stars. So when the Bible said that no one's able to count the stars in the sky, well, guess what? No one's able to count them. That's how many there are. See, so to believe that the God who did that just by speaking needs our help, I mean, God forbid, you know, we're not God, okay? We're called to believe what God has done for us. Okay, now, remember that word purge. You're purged. Your sins have been purged. Now, let's go to, okay, Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Now, listen closely to what this says, okay? For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers unto them perfect. So in other words, when the Jews offered up the sacrifices, right, it didn't make them perfect in any way. All it did was continue to remind them of their sin, okay? Then it goes on to say, for then, if it was able to make them perfect, then they would have not ceased to be offered. Because the worshippers, now listen closely, worshippers, once purged, should have no more consciousness of sin. Now, how many times have you heard that? I'm going to read that again. Because the worshippers, once purged, that's you, should no longer have consciousness of sin. See, Paul says this about sin. We are dead to sin and alive to God in union with Christ Jesus, okay? God is not holding our sin against us anymore. And you have to know that. Otherwise, you're going to walk around with a guilty conscience all day long, and you're going to try to change your life by the strength of the old man, which really, without realizing it, you have just put yourself back under the law of self-effort. And Paul makes it clear that the power of sin is the law, or else self-effort. Okay? The Bible says, for it is God that is at work in you both to do his will and his good pleasure. We're called to trust God. Jesus prayed that to save us from evil, keep us from evil. See? So we have to trust God to do what we could never do, okay? Jesus did it for us. He led a perfect life, and God gave us that life that was pleasing to him. In fact, that was the only life that was ever pleasing to God. Of course, Adam was pleasing to God, but not after the fall. So the life that you have, you can know that it's pleasing because it's the very life of Christ himself. You can't get any better than that, folks, okay? So remember that. The worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sin. You know, Hal Lindsey, I don't know if you know who he is, but he wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth, and it was a number one seller in the 80s. He also wrote another book called The Liberation of Planet Earth, and it was basically all the doctrines in the Bible. And one of the things he said there, and I never forget it, and I hope that you don't forget it either. He said that Christians are more sin-conscious, S-I-N, sin-conscious, than they are sun-conscious. See? So in other words, all they're thinking about is what they did that, all their sins they did that day. And when you do that, you're thinking about your sin. You forgot about Christ. You're supposed to be sun-conscious. You're supposed to be thinking about what Christ has done for you. Now, here's why I say all these things. And I'm saying this from my own personal experiences, okay? And remember this, because it's true. The more you believe by faith who God says you are in Christ, let me repeat that, the more you believe by faith who God says you are in Christ, the more you become like Christ by faith and not by effort. I'm speaking from personal experience. That's one thought you should never forget. I hope you write it down. If you forget it, call me and I'll tell you what it is again. In fact, I'll repeat it. Okay? You are perfect and complete in Christ at all times. Put that on your mind. Be son. All right, now, here's one last thing I'm going to say. And this is fantastic, okay? And I wish that people would. Sometimes you need, it's good to pick up a dictionary, or if you have a concordant, you can do that. Even the dictionary gives you a good idea what words mean, okay? Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and are truth. So if we don't know what words mean, then, you know, sometimes we might get the wrong idea of what a word means. And that can be, you know, kind of dangerous. I always want to know what words mean. But anyhow, the last verse I want to give you is found in Colossians 1:10. And we've all heard this before. For in him, speaking of Christ, you have been. Now, that's past tense. For in him, you have been, not going to be, you have been made complete in him. Now, does anybody know what the word complete means? I mean, I hope you look these words up. It'll blow your mind. I know it did me when I first read it. I first looked it up. I said, wow. That's what God says about me and what I am in Christ, okay? All right, here's the definition of complete. Having all the necessary parts, not lacking anything, not limited in any way, not requiring more work, entirely done, okay? That's what God says you are in Christ. All those things. See, he already made you all that he wants you to be the moment you believed. And I'll tell you, when someone tells you God's still working on you, well, you know, I tell them, well, wait a minute, let's take a look at that. Either you are all that God, you know, made you the moment you received Christ, or he's lying when he says you have been made complete in Christ. He would have had to word it a different way, okay? He would have had to say, well, you're on your way to becoming perfect in Christ or complete in Christ, so you got a lot of work ahead of you, okay? He doesn't say that. See, God sees you as perfect and complete in Christ right now. And let me repeat that, what complete means. Having all necessary parts, not lacking anything, not limited in any way, not requiring more work, entirely done. Now, what can be better than that? I mean, where do you go from there? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, when I read that, I say, praise God, you know, that God did that. I didn't do it. He did it. And all I have to do is believe what he said. And the more I believe what he said I am, says I am, the more I become that person by faith. Well, that's the last scripture I wanted to give you. I hope and pray that each one of you understood what we were talking about. If anybody has a question or a comment, you know, please ask to touch one of your touchstone phone, and you'll be able to ask your question. Or if you want to give them a comment, maybe you like what you heard, never heard it before. You sure would like to hear somebody say something if you want to. If not, that's fine. Nobody has a question or a comment, huh? Okay. Well, I hope I did a good job, and I hope that you know, appreciate it, because I certainly enjoy doing these. You know, before I started Scriptures, I used to have my own radio show called Get a Life. It was in Cleveland, Ohio, and it was on WCCD radio station. I was on there every day from 12 o'clock to 12:30, and it was on Wednesdays and Thursdays we used to have a call-in. Okay, and that's when I kind of start really studying God's word more than I had ever been, because I couldn't believe some of the things I was hearing from people, and I kept wondering, where are they getting these ideas from? I don't remember reading that in the Bible. And I think a lot of people just kind of believe something that might sound good, okay? And so they just go by that. Sounds good, so I'll just believe that. And they repeat it to somebody else, and they believe it. And before you know it, there's a lot of false doctrines spread around. I'm going to leave you this one thing, okay? I want you to study this, okay? I hear many people say that, I've had people tell me this when I used to go to a certain church. I won't tell you what kind of church it was. But anyhow, they just accuse people, well, you're under the Holy Spirit conviction. Now, this is talking about believers, okay? Now, I can tell you right now that is not true in the least. If you read scriptures, okay, it says in Book of John, Jesus said to the apostles, when I leave, I will send the Holy Spirit. I will send a comforter. He called this Holy Spirit the comforter. He was saying that to the apostles. I will send you the comforter. And he will lead you into all truth concerning me. Then he went on to say, I will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when it comes, it will convict the world, not believers, the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, listen closely, because they don't believe in me. You are a believer. The Holy Spirit does not convict believers, okay? So when somebody tells you to ask them, show me in the Bible where it says that, because they're not going to be able to show you. And then if you go to 1 John, if your heart condemns you, or your conscience, one and the same thing, you know, if your conscience is condemning you, because that's really where it's coming from, okay, it's not coming from the Holy Spirit, your conscience, which we still have, okay, as a believer, and when we know when we do something evil, okay, but it says this, very interesting. When your conscience condemns you or your mind condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Okay? So even though we, you know, feel guilty about doing things, okay, we always have to remember, in spite of that, Jesus died for that one too. I mean, I used to lose sleep over things sometimes. What I did. Why did I do that? Why did, you know, you go over things in your whole mind and it'll drive you nuts and you won't be able to sleep, okay? You have to realize that you're still a sinner. And when you sin, you just have to confess. Yeah, I did it, okay? But Christ is my righteousness and God is acceptable to me. God, you know, help protect me from evil. And he will. See, when you trust God 100% in your Christianity, then you'll see him working in your life. If you don't trust him, then you're going to see yourself working in your own life. And guess what? You're just going to be on a merry-go-round, you know, going to the cross, coming back, running away from the cross, going back to the cross, going back to the world. You know, you're going to be like in a circle. And that's no way to live. You know, we have to live with a good, clean conscience, as Jesus said. And Paul says that we should have a good, clean conscience. Okay? And Jesus said, out of a good, clean conscience, which he used heart. Heart and conscience are the same Greek words. When you have a good, clean conscience, okay, out of a good, clean conscience comes good works. Okay, it's a principle that's works. And out of an evil conscience comes evil works, see? These are all principles that we need to learn to live by, okay? So one more chance. Anybody have a question or a comment? Anybody disagree with what I said? You know, you're more than welcome to do that. Anybody have anything they want to add to what we said, what I said? Press 1 on your touch-tone phone and I'll put you on the air. Well, nobody's talking tonight. That's okay. All right, well, I'll let you know when the next study is going to be, the Bible study. We're going to start having these on a monthly basis. The next one will be on a Saturday. It'll be next month. And on Saturdays, we always have the Bible studies at 2 o'clock. Eastern Time. So you'll get a notice as usual. If you have any questions, you maybe want to get on the air today, that's fine. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to call me anytime at the office. Or you're more than welcome to email me, and I'd be happy to answer any of your questions. So again, I want to thank everybody for listening. And as I always like to close with, don't forget your Savior who died for you 2,000 years ago loves you, and so do I. And I mean that with all my heart. I really do love each and every one of you. I consider each and every one of you my brother and sisters in Christ. So with that, have a nice weekend. God bless you. And don't forget to put yourself all the way in Christ and never deny who God says you are in Christ, in spite of your own personal experiences.